Now, let's talk hardball. This is River City Hardball, presented by D-Bat Jacksonville. Here's your host, Andrew Gibson.
Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to River City Hardball, presented by D-Bat Jacksonville. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. We are a show that's focused and dedicated to baseball here in Jacksonville, and we are focusing on high school, college, and pro baseball here in the River City. We've got a lot coming up on the show today. This is our fourth show of the existence of this show. We started in February, and now we're at the end of May. And also, Rob is our producer as well. So thanks for joining us wherever you might be listening to us here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. And what a run for so many Jacksonville area high school baseball teams that we had just recently going to the Final Four. Bishop Kenny, Providence, St. John's Country Day. Shout out to all of those teams, all those coaches for making such a great run to Fort Myers in the Final Four. In just a few moments, we're going to hear from all three of those head coaches in just a few seconds to kind of put a wrap on the season of those three schools that made it to the Final Four in Fort Myers. That's our first segment. In our second segment, my friend Jacob Ivanich from Optimize Physical Therapy and Sports Performance, he's going to join us for about 10 minutes or so to talk about arm care. We're going into the offseason for many of our high school and youth baseball players, and a lot of you are going to jump into summer ball. You're going to jump into travel ball. What should you know about arm care? How should you treat your arm going from the regular season now to the summer ball? So let's talk about that at 11:20 with Jacob Ivanich, my friend from Optimize Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. Get a medical professional's thought on how you should treat arm care. And then we've got a Major League Baseball player coming up at 11:40. Brett Wisely from Jacksonville and Sandalwood High School is playing in the big leagues right now for the San Francisco Giants. Had a chance to talk to Brett a couple days ago. The Major League schedule is crazy. Those guys are flying all over the country, so it was really cool to get about 10 minutes or so with Brett Wisely from Jacksonville. He's, you know, had a great game the other night. On Friday, he started and hit a home run and a double for the Giants against the Brewers. So about 10 minutes with Brett Wisely coming up at 11:40. But right now, let's go around the diamond here on River City Hardball, and let's do it right now with our thoughts on the final season, the Final Four season for St. John's Country Day, for Providence, and for Bishop Kenny. It's time to go around the diamond here on River City Hardball, and today we're going to focus on the Jacksonville area high school baseball teams that made it to Fort Myers in the Final Four. Let's first begin with Providence. The Stallions won 25 games this year under first-year head coach Tommy Boss. Providence played in an unbelievable back-and-forth Final Four game against eventual 3A state champion Calvary Christian. The Stallions came up one run short, falling 5-4 in extra innings. Coach Boss shares with us what the experience was like in the extra innings thriller in the Final Four.
Man, I'm sure it was a very fun game to be in the stands or watching on TV. It was a fun game to watch. Being involved in it, it was a little intense at times. But we had our chances. We thought going into the Final Four, you know, doing our research on the teams that were down there, that would probably be the state championship game for us. It looked like, you know, if we got past them, that we'd have a fairly decent chance at the next game. And, we certainly had our chances. Those guys were really good, man. We saw some unbelievable pitching, you know, even with the tough schedule that we played. I don't think we ran into 97 miles an hour until last week. And it was a fun game. It stinks that we didn't come up on, came up at the short end of the stick, but it was definitely fun, and glad we got that experience.
Jacksonville was well represented at the Final Four, with Providence, Bishop Kenny, and St. John's Country Day all making it to Fort Myers. Stallions head coach Tommy Boss on what it was like to represent Jacksonville in the Final Four.
It was a fun atmosphere. Our parents did a great job. We had a nice little fan base down there. It was super hot that morning game, and it was just a great experience. Our boys, they battled, and that's one thing I'll say about these, especially the group of seniors that are, you know, kind of left their legacy with us in this final team that they were on. They battled, they never gave up. We knew we'd have to play a perfect game to beat a team like that. And man, we came close. We definitely came close.
The star of the 2023 Providence baseball team was right-hander Brett Dennis. The 2023 UNF Ospreys commit was named the team MVP.
To get to where we were at and finish where we were at, you know, Brett pitched in every single postseason game. We'd start one of our lefties, hoping that they could get us through three, knowing that, you know, if the game was close, we'd have that ace in the hole and be able to bring Brett in and finish the games. And he was able to do that, and kind of took a similar stance when we got to the Final Four. And man, he delivered each and every time. The kid worked so hard. No doubt that he's going to be successful in his baseball career.
Congratulations to Coach Tommy Boss and the Providence Stallions on a 25-win season and a Final Four appearance. Up next on Around the Diamond, we go to Orange Park in St. John's Country Day. Head coach Tom Lucas and the Spartans made the state championship game for the second time in the last 3 years. On this trip to Fort Myers, St. John's Country Day fell just short in the 2A state title game, 5-2, the final score against Lakeland Christian. Coach Lucas reflected on the most recent state championship game for St. John's Country Day.
Yeah, no, really proud of the guys. Going into the year, you know, I think there was a lot of people that kind of wrote this team off and this group of seniors off just because we had lost, you know, some really big pieces the year before. This team just kind of came together and accomplished every single goal that they had set except win the last game. So extremely proud of them. I mean, they won the most, you know, single season games in the history of the program. And to get back to the Final Four with this group was really special. And once you get there, you know, everybody's a good team. You know, once you get to the Final Four, you know, you're going to play against the best of the best. We played a pretty good game in the first game to beat Westminster Academy. And then Lakeland Christian had been, you know, either just ahead of us or just behind us. You know, I don't think we're separated by more than two or three in the rankings pretty much all year. So we kind of knew that was probably the team that we'd have to beat at some point. And I mean, just well coached, a lot of, you know, D1 players, a lot of big arms, and you just go down early and you give up four in the first. It was just kind of dug a hole, and then just tried to scratch and claw and fight our way back, and you know, ended up bringing the tying run to the plate in the seventh inning, and just couldn't get the big hit.
St. John's Country Day had a team with 11 seniors that contributed to a record-setting season. Coach Lucas highlights two of those seniors who are going on to play at the next level.
Sean Andre, who had been at St. John's for 5 years, it's been the shortstop ever since Connor Moore left, so like the last 2 years, and he was our captain, and just, you know, phenomenal year both on and off the field. Jacob Thomas, another kid who had been at St. John's, I think 7-8 years, that I've been coaching since he was 8 years old, going to UNF, you know, really led the pitching staff, and then had a phenomenal year, stepped in at first base, taking over for Brad Hodges, and hitting the four hole, and just had a phenomenal year leading the team in RBIs.
With as good as the St. John's Country Day baseball program has been the last few years, this year's team set the single season program record with 26 wins.
Yeah, that's the most that we've ever had in a season. So that was wow. Pretty cool for that group to do that. So like I said, I mean, that was a pretty special group to have them. You know, I've had a lot of those guys a really long time, and they just bought in. I mean, culture-wise, everything that we preach and do, the senior class bought in and really kind of put their own stamp on this year and this in the program. And as good as the program's been the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, what I told all of them is it's better than when they got there. And that's hard to do, to keep building on a program that's, you know, been so good. But they absolutely did that and left a really positive mark on it.
Congratulations to head coach Tom Lucas and the St. John's Country Day Spartans on a program record 26-win season and a Class 2A state runner-up finish. Our final stop on Around the Diamond here on River City Hardball is with Bishop Kenny. The Crusaders made a remarkable run to the state championship game under head coach Tommy Edwards in his 17th season. Bishop Kenny beat Tampa Jefferson 4-1 in the Final Four before falling in the state championship game to North Marion 5-0. Coach Edwards on his reaction to one of the most memorable seasons in Bishop Kenny history.
Yeah, I'm very proud of these guys. Obviously, you know, we went into district play just barely above 500 and, you know, basically turned it over to them, said, you know, you guys got to take this thing and run with it and see what we can get done. And boy, did they ever. And, you know, to be in that situation and then play for a state championship was fantastic. You know, they great atmosphere down there, run very, very, very well. You know, we got it done on, I got my days, let's see, got it done against Jefferson. And then, the, you know, the North Marion game was a good game. You know, they got some balls in play and you know, things we got in play just didn't find holes. Jack threw a great game in the semi. And Garrett threw well, just a little bit of bad luck, I think. But great experience, fantastic experience for them.
Of the 19 wins for Bishop Kenny baseball this season, nearly half of them came on an 8-game winning streak that led Bishop Kenny to the state championship game. What was the turning point in the Bishop Kenny season that led to the 8-game winning streak?
I got to a point when we got to the district play, I got them all together and I said, listen, you know, we're going to start over right here. We're in postseason. I need you guys to step up, take it, run with it. I'm going to stand over at third and throw out some suggestions and direct some traffic. But, you know, I think it's time for you guys to come together and even more than you already have and make a decision to try to get this thing done.
Bishop Kenny had some incredible pitching performances in the playoffs from a combination of Jack Newman, Garrett Corbett, and Ben Monger.
They did. They really stepped up and threw some really good games. Jack threw a fantastic game in the panhandle and in the state finals. Ben got us there when we went through Baker County. They just, you know, it came together. We knew that we would be able to throw it a little bit and defend the field. You know, we just came up a little short in that last game with, you know, some offensive production and so forth. But, yeah, they at the right times, those guys were peaking. And we're just throwing fantastic games.
It was a roller coaster type of season for Bishop Kenny in 2023. The Crusaders started the year 1-4 and ended up in the state championship game. What was the message from Coach Tommy Edwards after falling just short in the state title game?
Extremely proud of them. You know, a lot of things could have gone sideways for us. And for them to step up and make a decision, hey, we're going to give this thing the best shot we got. And enjoy the moment. You know, they came up with this stamp the board thing. And, you know, when those seniors come back and they see that board, that 2023 in those categories, that's something to be very proud of. The younger guys, I said, look, now you know what it's like. You know, take your off season, work as hard as you can, because that's where you get better. And let's see if we can't do the same thing next year.
Congratulations to Bishop Kenny head coach Tommy Edwards and the Crusaders on an incredible run this season and a Class 4A state runner-up finish. That'll do it for this week's edition of Around the Diamond on River City Hardball, congratulating Providence, St. John's Country Day, and Bishop Kenny on their runs to the Final Four and the state championship game.
Good stuff from all those coaches, all three teams making it to the Final Four, two of which going to the state championship. None of them won it, unfortunately, for Jacksonville. But, man, that just speaks to the type of talent and the type of coaching that we have here in Jacksonville. And I wanted to bring you some of those comments of the coaches that made a Final Four run this season. Let's take a timeout here on River City Hardball. When we come back, let's talk about arm care with my friend Jacob Ivanich from Optimized Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. It's an important discussion. Let's have it next here on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
Welcome back to River City Hardball here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. I love the little baseball ambiance there from our friend producer Rob. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Hope you guys were able to check out the previous segment around the diamond with Bishop Kenny head coach Tommy Edwards, Providence head coach Tommy Boss, and also Tom Lucas of St. John's Country Day. What a great run those three coaches made to the Final Four here in Jacksonville, going down to Fort Myers. Not coming back with a championship, but still a very proud season for those three schools here from the Jacksonville area. Let's now have my friend Jacob Ivanich. He joins us now in studio from Optimized Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. Jacob, good to see you, man. How are you?
Great, Gibby. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate what you're doing, leading the charge with getting all this local baseball knowledge out to the community and also helping them to inform them on stuff like what we're going to talk about today with the arm care.
Absolutely, man. I love to do it, love to spotlight and give credit to all the coaches and the players that deserve it so much, for sure. You know, our topic today with you is arm care and the importance of that. We see, you know, arm injuries a lot at every single level. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to inform coaches. We're trying to inform parents and players what you should be doing with your arm, because now if you're talking about youth-level players, high school players, going from the regular season to the off season, some don't really have much of an off season. You go from regular season to travel ball, summer ball. So what should we know? First of all, what is arm care and what should parents, coaches, players know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So with arm care, I like to kind of take a step back a little bit to gain a different perspective on it. So for me, being a physical therapist and performance coach, what I'm kind of looking at is the muscles, the nerves, the joints, and just our mentality in general also. So with the muscles, are they strong enough to support the movement we're trying to go through? Are the nerves firing and causing the muscles to move quickly enough, forcefully enough, and in an ideal order? And then are the joints moving well enough in their full range of motion? Because pitching, especially, is the fastest recorded human movement. So we got to make sure our body is ready to perform that.
And your background a little bit, you played walk-on college baseball, Indiana State, with Sean Mania, right?
Yeah. Sean's one of my good buddies, and we grew up together and everything. So I've always been a huge fan of the game.
And then you got into, you know, medical with physical therapy. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so then I ended up going the athletic training route when baseball didn't actually work out. So went to athletic training, worked with multiple sports at Indiana State. From there, I decided I want to go the physical therapy route, so ended up going to University of Florida. Ended up working there with some of the athlete preseason screens and everything to try to gain some more experience with higher-level athletics. Had an internship with the Texas Rangers facility, another internship with the local independent league baseball team, Gary Railcats, from where I'm from. And, to try to really, you know, put myself in the middle of the game as much as possible to learn about it.
You know, when we talk about arm care, I think rest is probably one that maybe people don't think too much about. Don't you need to have a little bit of rest after, say, for example, a regular season? Shouldn't you have a little bit of time off before you go right back into it?
Yeah, so once again, we got to define rest in general. So we don't want to just sit and not do anything at all. We do want to make sure that we're preparing our bodies for the forces that we're going to have to, put through them to perform the sport. So at different levels, you're going to have different things. So high school, college, you are having pretty much year-round baseball nowadays. Mm-hmm. The pros, they're a little bit luckier where they have a little bit more of a structured schedule. So they have their season, then they can kind of be reassessed, make sure they build up their strength, mobility, start building up their speed again, then get a little bit more sports-specific, then go into the season. So with college and high school, it really is a matter of, you know, we really have to make sure we're staying on top of all these different things with making sure our muscles are activating appropriately, making sure a huge thing with injury risk is making sure we have the mobility that we need in the shoulder and hips also. So we have to really pay attention to those things to make sure that those chronic stresses, when we're not giving ourselves a rest down here in the South, that those aren't kind of getting out of control and causing an increased injury risk.
When you do your work with Optimized Physical Therapy and Sports Performance, you guys work out of the DBAT building with Zach and those guys that are our friends and sponsor here on the program. And I've been there several times and watched you in action, work with those guys. I've seen you, you know, work with local guys from Bowles, from Episcopal, from all over the place. When you're training and working with those guys, what are you trying to stress to them as far as we're talking about arm care? What are you trying to get across to them as, hey, you need to be doing this, or you mm-hmm. should be doing this to make yourself aware of what you should be doing?
Yeah, so everybody comes to me for a little bit of a different reason. So some people come to me where they are going through a full training program with me, and I do try to emphasize arm care. Yeah, it does include the bands that everybody typically thinks of when we're talking arm care, but it is a full body thing. You know, you're starting when you're throwing from your foot, and the last thing to release the ball is your hand, so those forces are transmitting through your body. So arm care is actually full body care, making sure we're keeping especially hip range of motion, middle back range of motion, shoulder range of motion, and the strength throughout. So other guys will end up coming to me to maintain throughout the season, kind of reset their bodies week to week. We do a reassessment, see if any, especially pitchers, like afterwards, a lot of times they'll lose some of the internal rotation, the rotation going forward with your arm. So we reassess all those things, make sure they're optimized again before the end of the session, and then also recheck their muscle activation, because sometimes after a start, for whatever reason, maybe your glute isn't firing as much as it typically would, which will throw off your throwing. So we just really check each of those things, kind of reset the body, make sure full activation, full range of motion, and then go from there. And then with the other guys who come to me for actual training, then you know, we're just doing a full body program, focusing a little bit more on things like, especially with pitchers and upper body athletes, we need to do a lot of pulls to strengthen the back of the shoulder. We are doing the mobility, like we keep stressing as we're talking today. And then making sure the exercises are a little bit more like functional and full body. So we're not doing like bodybuilding isolation work, doing a little bit more like, you know, lunges and different deadlift variations and things like that. And also rotation movements to kind of mimic the sport and strengthen in those ways that we'll be moving when we actually play.
So you mentioned mobility a few times. I had a major league pitcher on our last show from the Colorado Rockies, and he was talking about mobility a lot because I was asking him about, you know, just what do you do before a start? And he was talking about mobility. Explain what that is.
Yeah, mobility. So basically, so we have flexibility. Seems like it's splitting hairs, but it's actually important. So flexibility is if I'm taking your arm and I'm moving it and you're not doing anything, how far can we move? So we want that to be good. But more importantly, we want to be able to actually have our muscles move us through the full range of motion. So that's what mobility is. So it doesn't matter how flexible we are if we can't actually move ourselves and control ourselves through those different movements. And going back to pitching, because it is an extreme movement, that's a perfect example where we need to make sure the muscles are activating, especially when we're rotating towards the end of kind of that cocking phase of throwing. So when that arm's whipped all the way back, we need to make sure the muscles are strong even in those positions, which would be why we really stress the mobility.
And that was Justin Lawrence, who I was talking about, who pitched here locally in high school at First Coast and then went on to go to the Colorado Rockies. He was talking about just mobility exercises right before he goes into the bullpen and gets ready to go pitch for the Rockies. And so, you know, as we're talking here about arm care, is there a way to prevent Tommy John?
That is the $1 billion question, Gibby. So if somebody found it,
right,
you know, they would be the guru. So everybody's trying to figure out what's kind of going on. Everybody's so different, individual to individual. What I can say and why I love what I do is at least the pitchers who I have worked with, we do really stress, once again, I can't stress it enough, the range of motion, the muscle activation, and also making sure our recovery is ideal. So if your body is tired, if you have that decreased range of motion, if you have that decreased activation, of especially even like core, hips, all that, it's going to change the way the stress is going through your body. And then ultimately with the Tommy John surgery, the UCL, it just ends up taking the brunt of the force and it can't handle it. And then that's when the tearing actually happens. So in cadaver studies, they end up putting the arm through the force of a standard pitch, and every time it tears the UCL. So it just shows how important that muscle activation and making sure that we're not fatigued as we're throwing really is. So once again, just kind of priming that body to be ready to perform. So one of the golden rules I tell everybody is if your arm doesn't feel good, it's not necessarily better to throw through that. You do need to focus on your recovery and make sure that you are feeling good going out there.
So is there a way to, like, strengthen your UCL that would prevent that tearing, or how does that work?
There are certain muscles around that part of the elbow. So it's like the flexor group is what we call it, the wrist flexors. They all attach up there, the muscles. And so we really try to strengthen that group of muscles. along with the shoulder blade is imperative. So yeah, the shoulder and shoulder blade, those need to be taking the brunt of the force more so than the elbow. So anytime there's an elbow problem, we're always immediately looking at shoulder, shoulder blade, middle back. And then also then we look at hips and ankles to see if there's anything else going on that's a little bit further up from the elbow.
You know, it's interesting. I spoke to Brett Myers, who's from here and pitched in the major leagues for like 20 years. And I said, did you ever have Tommy John? He said, never had it. And he pitched for like 20 years in Major League Baseball. So how does he pitch for 20 years, almost 20 years, and not have it? And then you see guys that are young, like, for example, Kumar Rocker is having Tommy John. He's not even made the major league level yet. He's pitched in college. He pitched at Vanderbilt. And he was drafted by the Rangers. And then the Rangers had a little bit of concern about his medical. And then the Mets drafted him. And then it came to find out that, well, he actually does need Tommy John. So can you explain that? Like, how does a guy like Brett Myers pitch for nearly 20 years, doesn't have it, and then a young guy pitches for a little bit and does have it?
Yeah. And
I guess every case is different, I know. But, like, yeah. is there any way to explain how that happens?
Yeah, so once again, I mean, it is possible a little bit of luck plays into that in general.
Right.
Who knows exactly what Brett's routines were. So he might have
he had a good
really
one.
Ideal. Yeah, really ideal routines. It's so great because, you know, increased velocity increases your risk of UCL.
Right.
That decreased range of motion, it can just be one day where you have that little bit of decreased range of motion and you don't know it. So I really think the key going forward is going to be just making sure, you know, we have these standard set parameters that we're constantly kind of rechecking, especially as everybody, especially nowadays, they're just really pushing the boundaries of what the body is possible with throwing.
That's true.
I mean, we're seeing in the late 90s, there was one guy on a staff that was the absolute stud, and he was throwing 95, you know, 95, 96 as a starter. And then now we have pretty much everybody throwing 95 and up in the major league game. So we're really pushing the boundaries of what the body can handle and everything. So I think it's just going to be there's going to be more and more of an emphasis on going back to kind of like the physical therapy side of what I do, more like the prehabilitation to not, you know, address things when there's pain and there's injury happening, but more so immediately addressing those things on the front end. And I think that is going to be, you know, a huge thing. And honestly, just sometimes there isn't enough time with the staff that, you know, some of the bigger programs have and everything, and even college programs. So that's where sometimes, like Tom Brady, he had his own, you know, movement specialist who helped him after practices and games to make sure he was getting his body back to where he needed. So sometimes you do need that little extra assistance with somebody that really knows your body.
So I think, to put it kind of in a nutshell, you need to strengthen everything as far as legs, core, shoulder, shoulder blade, like you said, those kind of areas need to be at their best to perform your best, because if you're not strong in those areas, then you're putting, what, undue force or I guess excess force on that elbow, and it's making it work harder. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it changes the force going throughout the body. So we need to be as efficient with, of course, mechanics and everything, and then part of the mechanics. I always stress just the movement side from what I do. But then that's a huge part about coaching and skill work is making sure your mechanics are as efficient as possible to make sure that those forces really do safely leave the body.
And that's an important part, too, because if you are a physical specimen, you're throwing 100, and you don't have great mechanics, that's not a good mix, is it?
No, yeah, it's ticking time bomb on some of those, yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, for a lot of kids, that can happen because you got a guy – for example, that's throwing upper 90s, and they need to be coached well. They need to be coached how to perform and how to, you know, pitch mechanically, because you can't just go out there and you know, zip it up to 97 and think, okay, I'm going to continue to do that with poor mechanics, because that's a good point you make. Mechanics is such a huge part of staying healthy, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. So, yeah, it really does take a team where, you know, my perspective and where I really zone in is just making sure the person as a whole is meeting these certain movement objectives. But then, of course, coaching is imperative because, yeah, we need to make sure the actual skill portion of everything is working appropriately as well.
Jacob, good stuff, man. This is flown by here in this morning segment here with you from Optimized Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. People can check you out at DBAT. Tell them about it.
Yeah, so we ended up partnering with DBAT Jacksonville. We have our own clinic and weight room in there. And then also it enables us to have the cage space and turf space to do any kind of movement work that we may need. So you can find us there. It's easy to find us on Google and to give us a call. And then also optimizeptsport.com. Of course, we're on social media with Facebook and then Instagram, optimizept_sportsperform. You can find us, and that just gives a little insight into some of the things that we do during our sessions.
Well, I love what you guys do over there, and with your partnership with DBAT, you do a lot of great stuff for the local community with local players from the youth level and up. So really appreciate your work and everything that you guys do. Thanks for jumping in the studio for a few minutes this morning.
Really appreciate it, Gibby. And once again, we all appreciate what you're doing as well.
There he goes, my friend Jacob Ivanich, Optimize Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. They're part of the DBAT group here in Jacksonville. Check them out, Powers Avenue. You want to make sure you do that because I know softball and baseball season, they're pretty much it's finished up here in the high school levels, but we know about that summer ball. Summer ball is here. It's this is Memorial Day weekend, the official basically kickoff to summer. So I know summer ball is going to go on. So if you need anything from your softball to your baseball needs, check out DBAT Jacksonville on Powers Avenue here in the River City. We're going to take one more time out. When we come back, we got a Major League Baseball player coming up, Brett Wisely of Sandalwood High School and a Jacksonville native, playing right now in the big leagues with the San Francisco Giants. He will join us next on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
Giants are having good at-bats one after another. Wisely drives one to deep right center field. On its way, it is gone! And off the facing of the second deck. Massive power from young Brett Wisely. His second big league home run.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
One of Jacksonville's own, Brett Wisely, with a home run against the Milwaukee Brewers. That was his second of the season, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. And what a pleasure it is right now to welcome in one of Jacksonville's own from Duval and from Sandalwood High School. Brett Wisely of the San Francisco Giants joins us right now on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Brett, thanks so much for jumping on. I know you've got a busy Major League schedule going on. You guys are just wrapping things up with Milwaukee, and you're heading back home to San Francisco to host the Pirates. But I want to jump right in here. What is this whole thing like? You're from Jacksonville, you went to high school here, and now you're in the big leagues with the San Francisco Giants. How does that feel? What is that like?
Yeah, man, I feel like my whole life, that's always been the goal, and just kind of I've been working hard ever since I really left high school, and I feel like the hard work really paid off. And I mean, there's still a lot more work to be done, but it got me where I am right now, and I'm just going to keep working harder to get better every day.
What was the feeling like when you made your big league debut?
I don't think words can really describe it. I mean, standing there at the plate, my legs were shaking, my adrenaline was rushing, I was so nervous to get that first hit, and I just think if I could have really breathe and take it all in instead of being so nervous, I feel like it would have been a little bit easier. But I think that's what comes with this sport. That's what comes with playing in front of so many fans. And you just got to kind of breathe and just take it all in while you can.
Brett, you are playing in the big leagues for the San Francisco Giants, one of the most storied and historic franchises in baseball history. Guys like Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Willie McCovey have worn that same uniform that you're wearing now. How special is that to play for a franchise that has had so many legends before you?
Oh, it's super special. When you look up in the over left field, they have all the numbers retired, and you see all the numbers that people came before you that are retired up there. It's pretty crazy to think about all the history that goes on here. I mean, I think it was a couple weeks ago. It was Willie Mays' birthday, and he was at the field, and so was Barry. So it was kind of nice meeting them too. And I mean, those are the guys. Barry was a guy I looked up to when I was younger, and just try to play like you played, and pretty cool meeting people like that.
Man, I'm just jealous of you that you get to play in that park in San Francisco. That's one of the best parks, maybe the best one in Major League Baseball. What is it like to have that place as your home ballpark?
Oh, waking up every day and walking to that field, just the whole area of San Francisco is so beautiful. And this park in general is probably the prettiest park I've ever seen. I mean, growing up playing video games, you'd always want to play at Oracle Park, and you always want to hit a ball into the glove out there in left field playing all these video games. But when you're living the dream and playing in this field every day, it gets, I would say it probably never gets old being out here.
Now you've got me curious, which video game are we talking about? I'm thinking of MVP Baseball 2004. That was kind of my jam back in the day.
Like Slugfest or even like the Bigs.
Yeah.
I remember when you could power up in those games, you can hit a ball all the way to the glove. And that was just kind of cool growing up doing that.
That's right. That's really cool. Brett Wisely joins us from the San Francisco Giants. He's a Jacksonville guy. He's a Sandalwood guy. And, you know, speaking of hitting one into the glove and hitting one out at Oracle Park, you did that not too long ago against the Milwaukee Brewers. What was that experience like hitting your first home run?
It was absolutely insane. I mean, dead center here it's honestly probably one of the shortest parts of the field besides straight down the line and right, but just kind of got to put a good swing on it. I feel like I had a lot of pressure on me because I haven't hit a home run yet this season, either in Triple A or up here. So I felt like I needed to do something to get my bat going, and kind of just saw the pitch well and just put a good swing on it to center field, and it went out. I didn't really think it was going to go out, to be honest with you. With all the wind and everything here, I thought it was going to get caught.
Yeah, that's a dynamic in San Francisco that's different than I imagine than a lot of parks. The wind is definitely a factor there, isn't it?
Yeah, if the ball goes up in the air and you're hitting, you got to bust it out of the box because it could fall.
Brett, you've been in the big leagues now for a few months since March. Do you have a welcome to the big leagues type of moment, whether it be a pitcher that you grew up watching, you faced him, anything that jumps to your mind right away?
I think facing Yu Darvish down in the Mexico series really was kind of like a big league moment until this past series where Bryce Harper came into town. But facing Yu Darvish, I mean, that guy was – I remember watching him growing up and how nasty he was, and face him and how nasty he still is. I mean, he has like 7 or 8 pitches that he throws for strikes, and those at bats are just really tough against him. But last week when Bryce Harper came to town, it was kind of cool seeing him. I mean, I grew up watching him. He was a superstar come out of high school, so everybody knew who he was, and letting him swing in front of me and watching him play, it was kind of cool.
You're a Sandalwood Saint. What memories do you have from your high school days here in Jacksonville?
The one thing that comes to mind from high school is probably my senior year breaking the home run record at Sandalwood. And, I mean, we had a pretty good team there my senior year. And I think we finished like 22-3 or something like that. But, I mean, just the way we competed and just the guys we played with there was just really fun to be around.
Who was your coach at Sandalwood when you were there?
It was Billy Bell, okay. DJ Gazzoni, and then John Edwards.
Do you have a story from any of those coaches, anything that you remember from those guys?
I think it was my junior year. And we might have been playing against, I think it might have been First Coast or something like that. And I was having a rough game, played shortstop because it was my first full year actually playing shortstop. And I was struggling, and Bell pulls me out and puts I think he moves me to second, moves our second baseman to short, and that kind of just put a thought in my head. Dang, I really need to work on what I'm doing, or I'm not going to be playing this game much longer. So, like, from ever since then, I really stepped up and worked on what I needed to work on and got me where I needed to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of young guys can learn from that lesson that you just spoke about. Sometimes you need something to wake you up to get you playing the way you're supposed to be going. Brett, one of the coolest things that I think about when I look at the San Francisco Giants, as you guys currently are, Austin Slater is from Jacksonville. He played at Bowles. He's also on the San Francisco Giants with you on that same team. How neat is that to have a Jacksonville guy who also played high school baseball here like you did to be on the same team as you in the big leagues?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, me and him talk quite a bit about back home and stuff like that and spring training. He was the guy I went to help because they moved me to center field. I didn't really have much experience out there, so I went to Slate and I talked to him quite a bit. And actually, he actually gave me one of his gloves because mine were still on the way to the field. So I've been rocking his outfield glove this whole year, and I feel like it brings good luck to me.
You know, that's one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to start this show, Brett, is to showcase the great baseball that we have here in Jacksonville. Three teams just made the Final Four in high school baseball. You, Austin Slater, and so many other guys have come through here and gone on to the big leagues. You and Slater were in the same lineup a few days ago and have been multiple times this year. What does that say about the talent that we have in baseball here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of talent in Jacksonville. We honestly get slept on a little too much. I mean, there's so many guys that come out of there every year, but I feel like we're just overlooked because Orlando has a lot of talent. Miami has a lot of talent, but people really just don't recognize how much talent's actually in Jacksonville.
Final moments here with Brett Wisely, a Jacksonville native from Sandalwood High School, who's now playing at the major league level for the San Francisco Giants. Anytime I get a Major League Baseball player on the air, I want to ask about Shohei Ohtani. Brett, as a Major League Baseball player who knows firsthand how hard it is to do this, how absurd is it to watch what Shohei Ohtani is doing from the mound and at the plate?
Oh, it's absolutely insane. I mean, hitting up here by itself is so hard to do, but if you can hit at such a high level and then pitch at such a high level, it's really impressive to watch. I mean, in high school, I was a two-way, but I mean, compared to being a two-way in high school, being a two-way in college, and then being a two-way up here, it's just absolutely insane. This guy's throwing 100 miles an hour and hitting balls 500 feet. That's just, you don't hear anything like that ever.
Have you faced him yet?
I have not. I have not seen him play yet. When we played the Angels in spring training, I was like, I think it was a split squad, so I didn't go to that game. I went to the other one, but I haven't seen him play yet, but I'm really waiting to watch him play. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the other night he's playing the Orioles and he's almost hit for the cycle and he's on the mound. I mean, I'm just like, people don't understand, like, you just don't do that, you know?
No, this game's so hard that if you can do both of those, then you're going to go a long way with it. You're going to make a lot of money as well.
Yes, that is very true. That is very true. Hey, Brett, I really appreciate a few minutes of your time this morning. I know you've got a busy Major League schedule going on right now. You guys are flying from Milwaukee back to San Francisco to host the Pittsburgh Pirates coming up. Congratulations on all your success. We're fired up to see it. And thanks for jumping on your hometown station here in Jacksonville at 1010XL. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
There he goes, Brett Wisely, a Jacksonville guy from Sandalwood High School, is playing in the big leagues right now for the San Francisco Giants. That is a pretty awesome story. He hit a double and a home run on Friday night against the Milwaukee Brewers. You heard that coming into the segment. Dave Fleming on the call, NBC Sports Bay Area. And he's like, massive power from Brett Wisely. And that's pretty neat just to hear that and know it's a Jacksonville guy, you know, making it big time in the big league. So congratulations on all this success to Brett Wisely. We got one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on this Memorial Day weekend edition of River City Hardball on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
Love that. The sounds of the game right there from our producer, Rob. Welcome back, River City Hardball on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Thanks to our guys from DBAT Jacksonville for sponsoring the show. My friend Zach Phillips and all those guys over there do a terrific job. Check them out, Powers Avenue here in Jacksonville. And we talked about when Zach was on last time. It's a national chain, but right here in Jacksonville, the last 2 years, this Jacksonville location of DBAT has had the most memberships in the country. That's more than California. That's more than Texas. More than any other place. Jacksonville, the one right here in Powers Avenue here in Jacksonville, has done the best in the country the last 2 years. And again, that speaks to the talent and the need for something like that here in Duval for baseball and softball players. So check them out once again. DBATJacks.com. All this rain that we've had around Jacksonville. Go in there, fully turfed, indoor facility that is just immaculate, just beautiful. Get your work in. Don't miss anything when it rains here in Jacksonville. Final few moments here of the program. I want to say thank you again to Brett Wisely from Sandalwood High School from Jacksonville. He's playing in the big leagues with the San Francisco Giants right now, and he's doing well. He hit a home run and a double on Friday night against the Brewers, and really cool to talk to somebody like that that's made it big time in the major league. So congratulations and continued success to Brett Wisely. Hope you caught some of that interview. If you didn't, we'll post it on demand at 1010XL.com. And, Rob, we were talking, Brett and I, about Ohtani. And Ohtani had another monster game last night. And just how ridiculous it is that Ohtani is doing what he's doing at the major league level. It's really insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point we have to consider this guy one of the top baseball players ever, ? What do you think?
Well, he's getting there. I think he's got to do it a little bit longer, but again, he's doing things that we have not seen since Babe Ruth, and that's
there's no gray area about it. He's doing stuff that you just haven't seen. So I'm fascinated to see how long he can continue to do this, because he's right now, you know, pretty much in the prime of his career. I don't know if he's going to go back to the Angels, because he's got free agency coming up. Like, the Dodgers, I think, are the top, you know, if you had to guess today where he would go, the Dodgers are probably the team that you would think. But, you know, I heard that he prefers to stay on the West Coast. And so that probably takes, you know, Yankees, any team on the East Coast out of play. I mean, yeah, if I was the Yankees, I would say, okay, well, you don't want to play on the East Coast. Well, how's $300 million sound? Does that change your mind?
They're even already saying that they think he's going to get the upwards of $400 to $500 million.
Oh, I could absolutely see it. $500 million for a guy who is an elite player in the field and on the mound is not out of the question. $500 million is not out of the question.
Not at all. I mean, if I had to put my bottom dollar on who I think's going to end up getting him, I think the Cubs. And I think the Bo Sox. I just have a feeling they're both. But like you're saying, East Coast, I don't know about Boston. I mean, they're playing pretty well this year, and not a lot of people are expecting that to happen. But, you know, both teams with a lot of money, and it's going to take a lot of money to get this guy.
See, I don't know. The Red Sox, they didn't want to pay guys, though. I mean, they didn't want to keep with Bogarts and Mookie Betts, and they let them go.
But they signed Trevor Story. It's the silliest thing in the world.
Yeah, they did sign Devers. They had to sign somebody. They couldn't let all those guys go. I don't know about the Red Sox signing Ohtani. And the Cubs, too. Are the Cubs going to shell out what it takes to get him? I don't know.
It's definitely going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to monitor. But him staying with the Angels, I just don't understand how the Angels have Ohtani and Trout, and they're as bad as they are. It just makes no sense. It's the number one and number two guys in the majors. And I don't know if you saw the World Baseball Classic, but the way that ended, I know USA didn't win. That was phenomenal. Ohtani versus Trout. Great, great stuff.
It was. And, you know, Ohtani said if the Angels don't win, then he wants to go somewhere else. And, well, guess what? They haven't won. And they're a couple of games above 500 now. They're 28-25. But, you know, how long is it going to last? I mean, Ohtani and Trout playing together on the same team, you would think, would turn into something pretty good, maybe make the playoffs here or there once in a blue moon, and they just haven't. So I would expect he's going to go to one of three teams. I think Ohtani's going to the Yankees, the Dodgers, or maybe there's a sleeper team out there. Maybe it's the Mets. You know, the Mets, they have the modern-day George Steinbrenner with
they really do.
With Stephen Cohen. He's clearly shown you already that he's willing to pay what it takes to get a superstar. He's paid, maybe overpaid, guys like Scherzer and Verlander, who have just not been, you know, healthy and have not really performed up to par just yet, but we'll have to find out and see. That's going to wrap things up today for River City Hardball here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I want to thank all of our guests, Jacob Ivanich, Brett Wisely, all the coaches from Bishop Kenny, Providence, and also from St. John's Country Day. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and once again, think of all the ones that we've lost in the service. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend, everybody. Last time went on trial, we're talking